This is Welcome Home Radio, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on locally owned KYNO. Brought to you by Judy's at Bullard and West and by the Community Housing Council. Now, here's your host, Don Scordino.
Well, good morning and welcome to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host on our Valley's most informative real estate talk show. And I promise you this morning's going to be pretty informative. I'm excited about it. And, you know, the reason we're the most informative real estate talk show is because we have different guests bringing their expertise and their knowledge to our show to share with our listeners so that we can all make better informed real estate decisions. We want to thank our sponsors, Judy's Home Decor at Bullard and West and the Community Housing Council. And this is where those two sponsors help us out. Judy's Home Decor helps you make a house into a home, and the Community Housing Council helps educate you and guide you through any issues that you might have. So today I want to introduce our guest, and he's a guy that I've actually known since he was a kid, living over there on Michigan Avenue. And I'm sure you're surprised that I remember that, but our paths have crossed once in a while. Although he's in the legal field, and I'm not. I try to stay away from the legal field. But that's Tim Jones of Wanger Jones and...
It's Wanger Jones Helsley.
So, okay. All right. So you are a... Were you born and raised here in Fresno?
Yes, I was. And went to school at Fresno State and then went to the University of San Diego for law school and came home after that.
All right. So you must like it here, especially with some of the ideas you've come up with. And we're going to get into that. Well, let me jump right into it. Tim Jones is a guy that had a vision some time ago for a new community called Riverstone. And that's just on the other side of the San Joaquin Valley, or San Joaquin River, from Fresno. And it is growing. And you didn't tell me this part. This is me speaking now. And I get around to a lot of the neighborhoods. The other day I was in Hanford, just sold a home in Selma. But I'm going to say that Riverstone is one of the jewels of the Central Valley. How do you like that one?
Well, I appreciate that, since it was it's very near and dear to my heart.
So how did you come up with this vision to build a new community out there?
Well, first, I'd like to take the credit for the entirety of the vision, and I can't, because the property was originally owned by David Murdoch through Castle and Cook. And David Murdoch, the owner of Dole Foods, was a housing developer originally, and he bought this property back in like 1980s, late 70s and 80s, and planned to develop it and work through it and got close. And did not finish it because of the downturn in 2008. And ultimately, we bought the property in 2010. So the concept of developing in that area has been discussed among many developers and many builders over the years, and David Murdoch was the one that got it as close as anybody could. So developing in the area was someone else's advancement. The concept of Riverstone and what it became was ours.
So I remember way back 17 years ago when this show first got started, one of our very first guests was somebody who lived out at Madera Ranchos. And they said the beauty of the ranchos is that there's no street lights out there. It's, you're really in the country. It's you and the coyotes. And I remember, because I was selling real estate back in the 80s also, and boy, buying property out there in Madera Ranchos was cheap. You could buy 2 acres for $10,000. Can't do that anymore. And so that had to take some vision and some guts to do what you've done.
I would say guts first, maybe a little ignorance, because as I told you before, many of the builders and developers in the area really questioned whether it was possible to develop in the Madera area. And so when we first started conceptually bringing something forward, they questioned my sanity. And I think part of it was that I didn't know how complicated it was. As an attorney, I'd done entitlements. I had helped other developers get their properties ready for development, but I had not gone through the process of actually developing it. And so I think they just assumed I didn't fully appreciate the complexities of what it would be. One of them said something to the effect of, you cannot walk into a hat store, trade in your attorney hat for a developer hat. It just doesn't work like that. And they were nice about it, and they were friends, but it was still what they thought. And so the guts part of it was definitely a big part. The creativity part of it is what became the most exciting and the most fun, because I wanted to build something that was different. You know, I wanted, it was, the land was planted to olives and pistachios and mandarins and all sorts of different products, fruit, and I wanted that agrarian feel to be within the community and remain in the community, which is why the olive trees, I preserved the olive trees so they could be planted in the medians and in the development, so that it would show its history.
And I got to compliment you, because I think that's one of the beauties of the development, is all those olive trees that line the streets and the medians, and not just the main road, but quite a few of them too. And it's their original olive trees that were down in that gully that was, what, just north of Rolling Hills development. And you had them transplanted and moved around. It looks like a great place to just walk around with all the trails lined with olive trees. It's beautiful. That's why I call it the jewel of the valley.
Well, and I could tell you that I live out there now myself, and I walk in the morning a couple of miles, and there's people out everywhere walking with their dogs or walking with their friends, and they're all very friendly, and it's just that kind of a community. The kids ride their bikes. The kids walk to school. You know, it's a place that we wanted to build that was like the neighborhood I grew up in, you know. And I'm going to tell you a funny story that sort of ties into this a little bit, which is when we started rolling the vision out, we had a town hall meeting with the folks in the ranchos because they were concerned. And I will say what they posted on their Facebook was that Riverstone is coming and it's going to build Section 8 housing. Right. And so we had this town hall meeting and we invited all of them to it. And the Board of Supervisor representatives were there. And I gave a presentation of what we were going to be. And I did the presentation on the clubhouse, which I don't know if you've seen or not.
But I have. It's beautiful. That was the first thing that impressed me about that place.
And we took a lot of time and a lot of care in it. And we even took the beams from the Port of Oakland and jigged them to match the roof to be in the inside of the main entranceway. So there's just a lot of little things we did. But after I finished the presentation and showed what the clubhouse was going to look like, and one of the members that were there from the Rancho said, well, you know, can we go and use the amenities, the pool, the gym, all of the things you're going to have, the demonstration kitchen and everything else? And I said, no, you have to be a homeowner and belong to the Homeowners Association in order to use the facilities, unless you come as someone's guest. And the person said, so you're building a country club and we don't get to go? So that it was a great source of pride for me, just to have taken folks that were uncertain about it and then get them to understand that what we were going to build would be something great. And I think it's great for the area. Yes, there's increased traffic. We're not 100% responsible for that. The traffic out there has been issues for a long time. But Avenue 12 is currently being widened, and 41 will start construction in I think March of next year, to be widened to 4 lanes through the intersection at 12. So, you know, I mean, but it was one of those moments when you got to have someone recognize what we were trying to do.
Yeah, it is great that he almost sold it for you to a group of naysayers, because he called it a country club.
Yeah.
And the first time I went through the clubhouse there and I saw all the amenities, it reminded me of when my uncle moved from the San Fernando Valley to Santa Clarita, and they bought in a place called Canyon Country, and it was it was resort style country club, and only because it was just really a regular neighborhood, but it had that community feature of the clubhouse, the swimming pool, and it's like they were at a resort. So
that was and that was exactly what the plan was for this clubhouse, was that it would be a resort style, which is why it has the wet edge pool. It has a full barbecue place for people to have, you know, events. It's got a demonstration kitchen where they would do like wine tastings and present, you know, food being cooked and how you would do it. That was the whole concept. The next clubhouse, which we're designing right now, that one is called the Lodge. The next one is going to be more of a sports type program. It's going to have, right now the design has 4 pickleball courts. We already have 2 in one park and 2 in another going into another park. Pickleball is hugely popular. It's going to have more of a junior Olympic type swimming pool for laps. We're trying to change it up because there'll be 3 clubhouses. This is the second we're working on now. There'll be a third one in the club district, which is under construction in terms of housing right now. But that one, the clubhouse will follow after the second one gets done.
Well, you know, after we get back from this first commercial break, I have a lot of questions for you and for our listeners about the whole vision of Riverstone. And because you're talking about more parks, more clubhouses. So is this going to become its own city? Stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO.
I'm proud of the house we built. It's stronger than sticks, stones, and steel.
Welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. And here in the studio with us this fine morning, we have Tim Jones, who is the master architect. That's my own name for you, the master architect of the Riverstone community, which is just north of Fresno, just north of River Park Shopping Center, and it's 2 minutes away, really. And here it is, a booming community, and in my own words, the jewel of the valley, because it's beautiful there. So anyway, all that said, I got some questions for you. How big is Riverstone? Let's say one of our listeners might be in Modesto right now or Bakersfield, and you know they don't have a visual on it.
Sure. So Riverstone proper is 2,000 acres. It will be at full build out, 6,578 homes, 2 million square feet of commercial, and there'll be about 150 acres of parks and open space, 3 clubhouses, and you know what we're working on now. There's about, I'd say, 3,000 homes roughly built and occupied, or maybe built, not every one of those occupied. They're just under construction. In 2024, for example, Riverstone was named the 14th fastest growing master plan community in the nation. And it was only only 2 total California master plan communities that fit that bill. And Riverstone was one that was in the top 50, and it was top 14. It was just a recognition of, you know, what we had done and how people want to be there.
So there's 3,000 homes out there now, or is that in the plan?
No, there's almost 3,000 occupied homes now.
Wow.
Total plan is 6,578.
And what I like, too, is there's a wide variance of types of homes. You've got some estate homes out there that are just huge, beautiful, large lots. And then you also have some that are the newer two-story homes on the smaller lots. So you've got a mix of price ranges there.
And that was all intentional. It was the desire was to make sure that we could fit every family, you know, to try to give everybody an opportunity to be there. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the intent was to build that sort of walkable community that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And you know, because you were around there. And, you know, the kids were all friends. The parents all socialized. It was just a different time. And I wanted that throwback that I don't feel like you get everywhere you go anymore. And that's why the wide streets, the dramatic landscaping, you know, the sidewalks are 8 to 10 feet wide on the main, you know, the main streets, just to try to create that sort of town feel and imagery. And you know what? It seems to be working. Because we sold 743 homes last year, which is why we were the 14th fastest growing master plan mm-hmm. community in the nation.
And there's quite a few different builders. So you're not the builder, right? You're the developer, and then you have different builders out there?
Correct. We do the commercial for the most part, but the builders that build the vertical homes, we're not in the home building business. We're in the master planning business, the land design and the land doing the infrastructure. You know, we built the wastewater treatment plant. We built the water distribution system. That all ended up in the hands of Root Creek Water District, who runs it now. But we had to facilitate the construction of the initial phases of all of that, and did the first roadways and everything to do with that. But we do not build the homes. That was one of those things we thought about, but it's just its own specialty, you know, and these folks are well equipped to do it. We just felt that, you know, we should stick with what we know. And so far we've done that and it's worked out well. But now the commercial is where I'm really spending my time.
Tell us more about the upcoming commercial, because as I drive around there, I don't see a gas station real close. Although, by the way, they do have cheap gas over there in Rolling Hills. So that's only a half mile away. So I guess I shouldn't say there aren't any gas stations. But what's coming up in the commercial part there?
Sure. So The property, Riverstone itself, has what we call Riverwalk South, which is the area that's developing right now. And we've got, you know, restaurants, Blast and Brew, Poppy's, Tamari's coming in. We've got Menchie's. We have UPS, Dutch Bros, Judy's Donuts. We have a nail salon. And a little market. So those are the things that started there. The rest of that, we have Tractor Supply, and there's going to be some shops around Tractor Supply. And then we have Raley's, the grocery store Raley's, coming in with their Raley's One store, which is going to be really, I think, spectacular. And then we've got about 25,000 now square feet of shops around that we've got commitments for just about 100% of that. But the jewel of it, when you talk about jewels, is what I call the Riverwalk. And the Riverwalk will sit behind those more traditional grocery shopping type things that the community needs and be more like a Santana Row. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to take the median, which is what Santana Row has, like some little shops in it, and to put a flowing set of water features that become the river. And then have, you know, things around. We're designing that now. We had some designs. We're now upping those designs. Part of the reason you don't see a gas station out there, not because people haven't absolutely been all over us to build them. We're just taking our time and being very selective. I'll give you a good example, hotels. We've had lots of offers to do hotels. I don't want to do, and not to denigrate an extended stay. I just think we have enough extended stays, hotels, in the area. I want something a cut above, you know. Mm-hmm. I probably can't get a 5-star hotel, but I'm going to shoot to get a 4-star hotel, and something that's going to be a place where the business travelers can go, where people can stay that are on their way to Yosemite, but not if you're in the development and you're on the Riverwalk. I want it to be like a nice hotel that people can come and enjoy all of the amenities and the restaurants and everything that's going to be out there.
For what it's worth, my opinion, I like that idea of a hotel there, because I could see somebody from the East Coast visiting out here, going to Yosemite, saying, you know, it's far enough away from the metropolitan area on the way to Yosemite. I could see a 4-star working really well there.
I was sitting at the bar at Ruth's Chris with my wife having dinner, and a woman next to us was visiting, and she was visiting because she was in the hospital line of work, and she was talking about how she was trying to find a hotel to stay in before we said a word. Mm-hmm. And she just said, you know, there's just not very many good choices. And I said, well, funny you say that, because that's what I'm trying to accomplish. I want something. And when you see the design of what we've got on the table and how this is going to lay out, I think people are going to be extremely interested and surprised and excited.
So this Raley's grocery store, is that going to be there on the corner of 41 and Avenue 12? Or is it further back?
It's not further back. It's actually, there's a four-way light at Market. Okay, so when you, 41 and 12 goes down to what we call Riverwalk Boulevard. And it's going to be Riverwalk South. It's the old business 41. It's yeah. Riverwalk South, and that'll go into Riverwalk North. On the Riverwalk South side, the next light you come to as you're heading south on Riverwalk Boulevard South is Market. And Market goes into the shopping center, and the Raley's will be just to the right of that road as it goes in, right at the corner of Riverwalk Boulevard South and Market. Mm-hmm. And Tractor Supply will be directly on the other side of Market to the north.
All right. And speaking of commercial, you also have an elementary school there.
Yes, there will be three total elementary schools as part of Riverstone. The first one, it's all under Golden Valley School District, and the first one is highly accredited. It was one of the top four in the valley for educational excellence, and it has just surpassed everyone's expectations. The school is full because we have people coming in from outside. But as Riverstone grows, those folks are going to have to go back to some of the other Golden Valley schools, because Riverstone students have priority over the schools in Riverstone. But the second school is already under construction, Canyon Creek. So that one's called Stone Creek. Canyon Creek is now under construction. And the third one probably won't start for another four years or so. But it's exciting to watch. I mean, I went to the groundbreaking. I gave a little speech at the groundbreaking of Canyon Creek, as I did for Stone Creek. But no, it's all happening.
All right. No, and it's exciting to see this happening here in our Central Valley, because, you know, we're not like San Francisco or Santa Barbara, Los Angeles. We're different, and it's great to see affordable homes being built in a great area. And I say a great area because here in the Central Valley, we're a car drive away from everything in California: snow-capped mountains, beaches, big cities, little cities. It's all there. And I want to tell people, you really ought to look into Riverstone. And that's just my own personal opinion. As a real estate broker, I will say, many people come to me and they say, well, we're looking, we'd like to stay in Clovis or Northeast Fresno, Northwest Fresno, something like that. I think more people need to be aware of what's going on in Madera County. And, you know, there's more than just Riverstone there, too. There's Tesoro Viejo. There's a lot going on and a lot of options and opportunities for home buyers. That's time for our next commercial break, but stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO. Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host, and here in the studio we have Tim Jones, a local attorney who also was the master planner of Riverstone, the Riverstone community out there in Madera County, just on the other side of the San Joaquin River. But with that, I want to thank our two sponsors, Judy's Home Decor at Bullard and West, and also the Community Housing Council. They help make this show possible. I cannot imagine, Tim, all the planning that had to go into this. I mean, just going, I guess you had to deal with Madera County as far as bringing them a master plan. Can you tell our listeners, what was that like? And how long did it take?
Sure. You know, we bought the property in 2010, and we just farmed it for a while we were, you know, the economy wasn't great back then, right? And so we're trying to find our way. And the first thing we did is we hired a very capable consultant to do a market study to tell us what people wanted. Once we got that information, we started designing the master plan to match that: walkability, security, high-speed internet, you know, all of the things that people wanted to see, great landscaping, all of those pieces. We designed the master plan, and then I did something that a lot of developers probably wouldn't do, is I went out to the builders who I knew, which I knew most of the builders, and I showed them what I wanted to do, the lot sizes and where they would be and how they would line up. And I got input from them, and they were kind enough to say, I would do this and I wouldn't do that because I can sell this all day and that one is going to take a little bit of time. And so I got input from them to kind of help me, because one thing you know is it's as a lawyer, I learned this. It's great to know what you don't know. Right, you only get in trouble when you pretend to know something and you don't. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know exactly what was going to sell the way they could see it. So I went to them, and they were all kind enough to give me great advice, which I incorporated into the master plan. Then I had to take it to Madera County, and Madera County went through their process. I could tell you that dealing with Madera County was amazing. The people there have always just worked really hard to be a partner in trying to accomplish objectives, making them great for the county, and making them something that will work for you. And I can't say enough good things about them, top to bottom, planning department, sheriff's department, the fire department, the board of supervisors, just across the board. It was amazing to work with them. And I'm still working with them. You know, this is a lifelong process. You don't realize that once you start something, it just keeps going, and it has, and it will. But I can't say enough good things about them and what they were like to work with and are still like to work with.
Maybe it's almost like Madera County wanted you to do that. What I'm hearing you say, without you saying it, is they didn't throw out a lot of obstacles or hurdles.
They didn't throw out hurdles, but I could tell you this. They were very mindful of protecting Madera County, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for example, our major road impact fee that we pay now, right now. So every home that gets built pays a major road impact fee. And it's, I think, as of right now, $25,000 a house. And that major road impact fee goes to help widen Avenue 12. Avenue 12 is going to be 9 lanes at 41.
What? Okay. 9 lanes.
It'll be 4 lanes as it transitions all the way through, except for where there's turn lefts and rights. But when you get to 41, it's going to have dual lefts, dual rights, you know, and 4 lanes going straight across and straight through. So all of that money, but Madera has been very guarded about that and very protective of making sure that we pay our way, that the improvements get built. I mean, the 41 is going to be widened from the where it necks down to 3 lanes now. It's going to be widened to 4 lanes there, all the way through Avenue 12, all the way to Avenue 15. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so my point is that it's not like they're just saying, oh, you just have your own way. That was never it. It was all about, you've got to do what you need to do to protect Madera County, to make it right by your residents, and make it right by our existing residents and everyone else. So, you know, I give them just high credit, high marks for being stewards of the people, and at the same time being people you can work with.
I hope they're listening to the show, because that was a good compliment, that they're stewards of the people.
Yeah.
And this is good to hear, because it sounds like my shortcut is coming back. That was used to be my shortcut, like if I was going north to Sacramento from Fresno, is Avenue 12, but got to be a bit much for a while, but it sounds like we're coming back.
Yeah.
All right, so another question. Before you build a development like that, you got to have water to supply and serve the people. How did you do that?
Well, again, I was the beneficiary of what was put together by Dole, by David Murdoch, a water district called Root Creek Water District. And Root Creek Water District was about 9,500 acres, most of which was owned by Dole, and most of which is now owned by us. What they did is they went out and got some surface water contracts to help balance the groundwater, to make sure that they would not overdraft the groundwater. And this was before SGMA, State Groundwater Management Act, was ever even contemplated. Root Creek was putting together a plan to balance their own groundwater. And that's driven more so by the farming than it is driven by the municipal industrial type uses in the houses, because houses overall use less water. You capture a lot of it and you reuse a lot of it because of the what goes through the sinks and the toilets and everything else. But they had to, because they wanted to keep farming, that they had to come up with this surface water supply to help balance the groundwater, which they did have the contracts. I had to put a lot of that together. There was all of the pieces were there, but nothing was really operating when I bought the properties. Mm-hmm. And so I had to make them operational. And so that's what I had to set about doing, and it was not simple. You know, every problem you have, you get 10 more. Every solution you find, you got another problem to solve. And that's true with the development, that's true with construction, that's true with the water. But we worked really hard to come up with and solve the water balancing issues, and Root Creek's a balanced groundwater program. It has been for a long time. Even when, you know, the SGMA regulations came in effect, and now everybody has to balance, we're one of the few that's actually doing it. Mm-hmm. And have the ability to do it right now, not waiting for 10 years or 15 years.
So water is in a plentiful state out there, is what I'm hearing.
We have a very stable water supply.
Mm-hmm. Because 40 years ago, I remember people saying, oh, be careful at Madera Ranchos, they have water issues. But I just don't see it. I'm 50 miles away, we got the biggest water supply in the nation, and that's the Sierra Nevada mountains. We do have water resources here.
But they have to be managed. And I think with what we do in Root Creek, we manage them and make sure that the supply is there. And we've managed to keep everybody in ag and keep our groundwater balanced and use the water for municipal uses. And so far, it's been great.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about other county services like fire, law enforcement? Who manages that out there?
So The county provides through CAL FIRE, the fire services. We're actually right now just going, the new fire station's been designed and will be under construction. I think within a few months, the contract will get let, and that will be under construction on Road 40, which is one of the boundaries of Riverstone. The fire department there, they've got a station in Rolling Hills that we expanded when we first started, but this will be the Riverstone Fire Station now. That will be, and then that other station will get abandoned. This is going to be a very large three-bay station. But CAL FIRE has been great to deal with. The people that run it have just, you know, they're like everybody else in Madera. They're great people to deal with. The Sheriff's Department provides ultimate service in terms of, you know, response for, you know, if you have an issue or a problem or whatever, and they patrol. We also have the CHP, California Highway Patrol, because of the 41 and Avenue 12, the California Highway Patrol has jurisdiction, so they're out there as well. And then because I wanted to add an extra layer of security, we have a private security force that we use that provides security on an ongoing basis to the development.
Mm-hmm. I know all about the Sheriff's Department because the other day I was driving through there. I might have been going a bit too fast, and this sheriff starts following me. I was going to tell him, hey, I know Tim Jones. Would that have helped?
You would probably gotten a ticket. No, I don't know. I'm not going to say. But they probably do know me, though.
All right. But I will say this. Just from driving around that area, I can tell it's a it's a great neighborhood. And you can tell law enforcement is there too, because you don't see red flags or issues. You've done a good job. Either that or your HOA has.
Well, it's a little bit of everything. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes all of us to be vigilant. And I could tell you one thing, we've got, I can't even tell you how many sheriffs, Fresno PD, Highway Patrol live in Riverstone. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a ready presence at some level there. The other thing we did is we put up they're called flock safety cameras, not to advertise for anybody, but they're a two-way camera, and they record you going in and they record you coming out. And it gets your license plates and it takes pictures of the cars. So if we ever do have a problem, and that's a feed directly to the sheriff's department. And so they can pick that up. So if we had somebody do something, we had it, you know, because of the construction sites, we'll have theft of the construction materials at times. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, it gets reported and we can track it. You know, we know what happened between 6 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning. They can go back and review those feeds and they'll find the vehicles, because usually it's a pickup and it's got to have some material on it. And we'll get those things and we'll get them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting. This whole thing's been well thought out, so I got to hand it to you. But I'll have to hand it to you after this next commercial break. So stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio on 940 KYNO.
If I could just come in, I swear I'll leave. Won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me.
Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. And perfect intro music, The House That Built Me, because we're talking about building homes for families out there at Riverstone. We're talking about people's futures, and in a home is it's a special place. And I'm going to tell you, I think Riverstone is too. I've been impressed with it. We got to just jump right into this one about the regionalism of this. So it just, because I think this is going to tee Tim Jones off, but tell us about regionalism.
It's interesting because as an attorney, we would recruit around the country and we'd have to explain why these young students who are going to be attorneys should come to Fresno and to be in our area. And we would describe the, you know, Millerton Lake and the ski resorts an hour and a half away and the coast 2.5 hours. And we were talking to somebody out in the Midwest that can't get to the ocean unless they fly or drive a very long time. We were able to paint a picture of the place and be very successful bringing attorneys to come in and work here and enjoy it based on the image we could create. And I think that's something that we, as you know, the Fresno, Clovis, Madera, even Tulare and the other areas around us and Merced, have to understand we're a region. And as a region, that rising tide will raise all ships. And I can give you one example that's near and dear to my heart is the San Joaquin River. We have a very large stretch of the San Joaquin River in our properties. And you know, the San Joaquin River for far too long has been the dividing line between Fresno County, city and county for Fresno, and the county of Madera. And it's not a dividing line. It's a natural resource. It is something that we should be embracing and we should turn into the jewel that it can be. And that means, you know, building the trail system and making it something that people can go and enjoy and not be something that just sits alone and, you know, is enjoyed in the absence. And I just think at some point in time, we have to find a way to do that. And I'm, you know, because of the proximity of my properties, you know, I'm involved in those conversations now because I really want to see if we don't build a trail system that ties into the conservancy or the parkway, I'm going to build that system myself. Okay, on my properties, and it's going to tie into the trail system in Riverstone as time goes on. But I think we'll miss an opportunity if we don't turn it into something that we can enjoy as a region and as a community. And I think, you know, the sooner we all look at our area as the region it is and the benefit that it can have for all of us, the sooner we will enjoy all of those benefits. And I built Riverstone. I hope Fresno and Madera and all of us around here can find a way to work together to make all of these things great for our area, because, you know, the American River Parkway, and there's places around everywhere that have that opportunity. We should be taking advantage of ours.
I want to thank you for saying that, because here I am, a lifelong resident of Fresno County, and you just made me think of something. I'm guilty of thinking the San Joaquin River was the dividing line between Fresno and Madera counties. And yet what you're proposing or is the thought that, no, the San Joaquin River is the center of this regional area. I like that. And I know what you mean about the American River. The American River doesn't really divide the Sacramento metropolitan area. It's the center of it. And so thank you for that thought.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping it, I hope it comes to fruition in my lifetime.
Okay, let's talk lifetimes. Let's fast forward 25 years. We'll still be around. But what's this region going to look like?
I would say it's going to continue to develop, as I mentioned to you earlier offline. You know, cities grow into the prevailing winds, and our entire region has been growing into the prevailing winds. So it's going to continue to grow, right? Fresno's going to continue to grow. Madera's going to continue to grow. And I anticipate this area will ultimately become a city. What the name of that city will be, I don't know, and I don't want to debate it because everybody's got their own opinion. I'm going to continue to promote what we have and what we do. But I do think it will ultimately be a city, and what that city will look like is going to probably look a lot like Riverstone and Tesoro Viejo. And, you know, you've got Gunner Ranch West out there around the hospital that's going to develop someday. You've got the rest of Rio Mesa that's going to develop. So there's a lot that's going to happen over the next 20 years.
Yeah. So I see a big population out there. And I also see the Central Valley region being a major part of California. I mean, if you go backwards 25 years ago, I think in California's legislature, California's thought process, the Central Valley was just there. We didn't pull much weight, but I see in 25 more years that we're going to be a major population source.
Well, we had a major development corporation who came to us, or they came to us and talked about wanting to buy the properties. And they've studied California for 10 years, and they made a few observations. One observation was that California's population is 3% of the population of India. But California's gross domestic product as a state is equal to the country of India's.
Wow.
And they said, California is going to grow. And we think that growth is going to be centered in the Central Valley. And the reason for that is that we see it as the place where we can argue about water, but it has water. We can talk about development and the impacts of development, but the Central Valley has the ability to do it. And these people saw it, and they were very studious, and they showed us their materials and their studying and the work that they put into it. We ultimately decided that we wanted to be the stewards of our own, you know, development and process, and not sell to anyone. But it was a very interesting and eye-opening experience.
All right. We only have about a minute or two left in the show. So what makes Riverstone unique compared to other neighborhoods here in the Central Valley?
I would say that first of all, we designed it with the homeowners in mind to give them the life that I had as a child. I didn't grow up in a fancy neighborhood of any kind. I just grew up in average Fresno, America, and I wanted to give them back. We do have a variety of homes, you know, price ranges and all of that. But I wanted a place where people felt, the kids felt safe, the parents felt happy, they connected. They do events all the time at the lodge, and you just have to be there to see it. It's remarkable. It was just to create that opportunity for people to enjoy their lives and be safe and feel good about what they were doing and connect with similarly minded people. And I can tell you, I feel very satisfied that we have made that objective come to life. I talk to people all the time because I'm around there, and I ask them, how do you feel about the place? What do you think? Is there anything you'd change? We have HOA meetings, and 15 people show up to the board meetings because I'm the president of the board of the HOA. There's 8,000 people living there now, and you get 15 people show up. What does that tell you? That tells you that people are, by and large, pretty happy with what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because if they weren't happy, you'd have a bigger crowd.
You'd hear about it.
Yeah. And I'd like to end the show with this thought for our listeners. After today's show and learning more about this jewel of the valley, drive out there sometime and just check it out. It's an enjoyable drive, and I'm going to say thanks to my buddy Tim Weaver, because he's the one who transplanted so many of those olive trees for you, and he gave me a lot of thoughts to ask of you today. And I was his first employee at Weaver's Tree Service years ago. When I told him I was getting into real estate, he said, good. I don't think he could wait to get rid of me fast enough.
That's funny.
So, all right. Well, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in, and we will be back again next week. Thank you.